Aprakrita deho toma prakrita kabhunai. Tatapi toma tate prakrita buddhi hoy. Aprakrita deho toma prakrita kabhunai. Tatapi toma tate prakrita buddhi hoy. Translation, actually, let's put this in context first of all. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Sanatana Goswami. The context is that Sanatana Goswami's body is covered with weeping sores, and Sanatana Goswami is disappointed at this, and he's contemplating transcendentally committing suicide by throwing himself before the wheels of the cart at the Rath Yatra in Puri, because he's thinking his body is material and unfit to serve Krishna. So in response to this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the translation of this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Sanatana Goswami, actually your body is transcendental, never material. You are thinking of it, however, in terms of a material conception. And before I read the purport, I'll give some more context. I'm specifically reading this because a devotee asked me about prasad, Krishna prasad. We hear that it is spiritual. But spiritual means that it's sachidanandamai. One of the qualities of that which is this spiritual is it doesn't deteriorate, doesn't decline, doesn't decay, whereas prasad is seen like that. And the body of the spiritual master is considered spiritual, but that also grows old and dies, as far as we see. So it's in this context of answering or considering this subject that I'm reading this verse with the purport today. So please listen to it with this in mind. So Srila Prabhupada's purport, taken from that of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada writes, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives his opinion about how a person completely engaged in the service of the Lord transforms his body from material to transcendental. He says, a pure devotee engaged in the service of Lord Krishna has no desire for his personal sense gratification, and thus he never accepts anything for that purpose. He desires only the happiness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and because of his ecstatic love for Krishna, he acts in various ways. Karmis think that the material body is an instrument for material enjoyment, and that is why they work extremely hard. A devotee, however, has no such desires. A devotee always engages wholeheartedly in the service of the Lord, forgetting about bodily conceptions and bodily activities. The body of a karmi is called material because the karmi, being too absorbed in material activities, is always eager to enjoy material facilities. But the body of a devotee who tries his best to work very hard for the satisfaction of Krishna by fully engaging in the Lord's service must be accepted as transcendental. Whereas karmis are interested only in the personal satisfaction of their senses, devotees work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one who cannot distinguish between devotion and ordinary karma may mistakenly consider the body of a pure devotee material. One who knows does not commit such a mistake. Non-devotees who consider devotional activities and ordinary material activities to be on the same level are offenders to the chanting of the transcendental holy name of the Lord. A pure devotee knows that a devotee's body, being always transcendental, is just suitable for rendering service to the Lord. A devotee in the topmost platform of devotional service always humbly thinks that he is not rendering any devotional service. He thinks that he is poor in devotional service and that his body is material. On the other hand, those known as the sahajiyas foolishly think that their material bodies are transcendental. Because of this, they are always bereft of the association of pure devotees, and thus they cannot behave like Vaishnavas. Observing the defects of the sahajiyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung as follows in his book Kalyana Kalpataru. Amito Vaishnav e buddhi hoile omani na hobavami pratishtal cha ashi hridoi dushibe hoibo niroyagami nija shreshta jani uchisht adidane hobe abhiman bhar tai shishatava thakya sharvada na loibo puja ka. If I think I am a Vaishnava, I shall look forward to receiving respect from others. And if the desire for fame and reputation pollutes my heart, certainly I shall go to hell. By giving others the remnants of my food, I shall consider myself superior and shall be burdened with the weight of false pride. Therefore, always remaining your surrendered disciple, I shall not accept worship from anyone else. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has written, Premer Shobhav Jaha Premer Shambandha Shemane Krishna Mo Nahi Premagandha. Wherever there is a relationship of love of Godhead, the natural symptoms are that the devotee does not think himself a devotee, but always thinks that he has not even a drop of love for Krishna. Okay, that's the end of the purport. So, we always hear about prasad being transcendental and the body of the spiritual master being transcendental, being spiritual. How is that when we see that it deteriorates, appears to deteriorate? Here, Sanatana Goswami thought that his body was material, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that and said, no, your body is spiritual. The word that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses is very interesting here. Tatapi toma tate prakrita buddhi hoy. This means that prakrita buddhi here means that Sanatana Goswami considers his body to be material. Prakrita buddhi, taken out of the context of this statement, means material intelligence. So it's a materialistic way of thinking to think that the body of a Vaishnava is material. Although, in another way, as described in this purport, if someone thinks my body, if someone in this material world thinks my body is spiritual, that is a materialistic way of thinking. The Prakrita Sahajiyas. Well, that's a broad term, but some of them, they think that their material body is spiritual in the sense that the body that they have presently inhabiting is fit for enjoyment by Krishna. Although the actually their body is mundane. So a pure devotee knows that pure devotees' bodies are spiritual, but he doesn't think I'm a pure devotee and my body is spiritual. So Sanatana Goswami thinks my body is material, and he should think like that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, your body is spiritual, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should think like that. Of course, we can't say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should think like that. We can't instruct Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how he should think, but taking the position of a pure Vaishnava, an Acharya himself, he gives the Siddhanta in this matter. Regarding prasadam, there is a statement in the Vishnu Purana, which is quoted by Sanatan Goswami in his commentary on his own book called Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and which I'll quote now, and which is, I'll give the translation given by Gopi Puranadana Prabhu. So the verse is, it also appears in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is also co-compiled by Sanatana Goswami. Naivedyam jagadishasya anapanadikanchayat bhaksha bhaksha vicharastu nasti tad bhakshane dvija brahmavan nirvikaram he yata vishnos tataiva. What is that? I can't read it. Tataiva yat. Vicharam ye prakuravanti bhakshane tad vijatayaha kushta vyadhi samayukta putradara vivarjita nirayam yanti te vipra yasman narvata te punaha. Translation, O twice born, one should never question whether remnants of food and drink offered to the Lord of the universe are fit or unfit to eat. One should never make distinctions. The prasad of the Lord is as incorruptible as the Vedic mantras and Lord Vishnu himself. Those who consider whether the Lord's prasad is eatable or uneatable will suffer leprosy. They will lose their children and wives, O Brahmana, and go to hell never to return. Now, one term in here, one word, given to describe prasadam. Yeah, there's... No, I'll give two. Brahmavan nirvikaram hi. Brahmavan is... Brahmavat has here been translated as like the Vedic mantras. But, of course, Brahma can be translated or understood in various ways. Can mean the supreme. So, Brahmavan nirvikaram hi. The Vedic mantras, they're not changeable. Nirvikara, that means... It doesn't undergo any change. The translation has been given as incorruptible. So although the general literal meaning of nirvikara means unchanging. Now, we practically see that prasadam appears to change. If we leave some... vegetable preparation, which is offered to Krishna, and we presume has been accepted by Krishna, we call Krishna Prasad. If we leave it and we come back after 2 weeks, it will appear to have changed from its fresh state to what appears to be like an ordinary rotten state. It appears to undergo change in the same way that any other vegetable preparation would do so. So nirvikara here has been translated as incorrupt, uncorruptible. It means it doesn't lose its quality of being prasadam. This translation is similar to that in many cases where the first meaning of a word or the general meaning of a word doesn't fit, just like we have in Bhagavad Gita the term achala, which is used to describe the atma, the jivatma. So it literally means unmoving or immovable. But practically we see that the atma does move, so various commentators give the meaning of this to mean, similarly to this nirvikara, doesn't change his nature, doesn't change from being atma to non-atma. So similarly, we say that the deity is spiritual. The deity of Krishna is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although we can see that the deity is made of material elements. Now, in the case of the deity, Krishna has, the understanding is that Krishna agrees to accept worship in that form. Although that form is not eternal. Nevertheless, that form is non-different from Krishna. But the form of Jagannath, for instance, is to be changed every 12 years. And there are directions in Shastra that if a deity becomes very old or in some way damaged, that deity form may be retired, and another form takes up or replaces that form. Nevertheless, the deity is to be considered the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nevertheless, the pure devotees whose bodies appear to undergo the shardavikar, that what term is given for prasadam, niyavikaram, shardavikar, six transformations, that birth, growth, staying for some time, production of byproducts, dwindling and death. So the body of a pure devotee appears to be material. Body of the spiritual master gets sick, old, but is nonetheless considered spiritual in the sense that it's fully engaged in the service of Krishna. From Krishna's perspective, everything is his energy. So the distinction between material and, or one distinction between material and spiritual is, material is that which is provided by Krishna for the perverse sense of enjoyment of the jivas who are rebellious to him. And spiritual means that which is fully engaged in his service. So the body of a pure devotee is fully engaged in Krishna's service. So therefore is considered spiritual, even though it's within the material atmosphere. The example is given of an iron rod which is placed in fire. It gradually attains the quality of fire. That if we take that iron rod out of the fire and touch it to our skin, it will burn us in the same way as fire itself. If we put our arm in the fire, or if we touch the iron rod which has just been in the fire to our skin, the same effect is there. It will be burned. So the iron rod has, due to being in proximity with that which is hot, it has taken the same quality. It's not exactly fire itself, but it has taken that quality. I'll read now from another statement of Srila Prabhupada. This is from the Srila Prabhupada's purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 3, text 2. Srila Prabhupada writes, "The material body certainly consists only of material elements. But when one awakens to Krishna conscious understanding, the body is no longer material but spiritual. The material body is meant for sense enjoyment, whereas the spiritual body engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee who engages in the service of the Supreme Lord and who constantly thinks of Him should never be considered to have a material body. It is therefore enjoined, Gurushu Naramatihi, One should stop thinking of the spiritual master as an ordinary human being with a material body. Arche Vishno Shila Dhihi. Everyone knows that the deity in the temple is made of stone, right? You know the deity is made of stone, or metal, or wood, or whatever. But to think that the deity is merely stone is an offense. Similarly, to think that the body of the spiritual master consists of material ingredients is offensive. Atheists think that devotees foolishly worship a stone statue as God and an ordinary man as the guru. The fact is, however, that by the grace of Krishna's omnipotence, the so-called stone statue of the deity is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the body of the spiritual master is directly spiritual. A pure devotee who is engaged in unalloyed devotional service should be understood to be situated on the transcendental platform. Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So that upholds that point. Yeah, if we're going to have it open or closed, I vote for closed. Please close the door. Yeah, and don't open it again. Because there's chit-chat going on outside. So the body of the spiritual master or prasadam is spiritual. It is as good as Krishna. Prasadam is Krishna in one form. But if we are to make a sukshma vichara or a more detailed analysis, then we will see that it is spiritual, but not in exactly the same way as Krishna's Satchidananda form in the spiritual world. In the Ramanuja Sampradaya also, they speak of the five forms of Godhead, of which one, they differentiate between, what is that, Kaya, Vyuha, and then the last one is Archa. So there's the original form of the Lord, and then there are other manifestations. So it's the same Supreme Lord, but manifests in different ways. Now, we often find in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes that he makes some statement, and his devotees, they argue with him in a transcendentally pleasing manner. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may praise his devotees, but the devotees, they want to present another perspective in which they want to present that they're not fit for such praise. So this often goes on. And we'll often find that between pundits, although the pundits are a dying species, but they will joke and argue on the basis of Shastra and make different propositions and try and defeat each other. Apart from formal debate in which they're really trying to defeat each other, we'll often find friends, someone makes a proposition and then someone else brings up another point, and they may twist the meaning of words and so on. That's just fun and joking. But here, Sanatana Goswami is very serious about considering his body to be material. On that basis, he wanted to commit suicide so that he could get a spiritual body. It's a misunderstanding, actually, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu corrected. That may be a misunderstanding. I was told once in Liverpool, which is a city in England, that a devotee was distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in the shopping area downtown, and a policeman came up to him and said, you can distribute those, it's okay, you can distribute those books, we don't have any objection, but don't distribute that book called The Science of Self-Realization. And he said, well, why not? Why, you know, what's bad about that book? He said, well, we had a case where someone committed suicide by jumping from a height, block of flats from a high floor here in Liverpool. We had a recent case. And in the room which he jumped from, we saw this book, The Science of Self-Realization, open. And he had been reading this section called The Art of Dying, in which it is stated that if one thinks of Krishna at the time of death, one is delivered from all material miseries and goes to the ever-blissful spiritual world. So he thought, okay, let's think of Krishna and die. So he didn't read all the book. I mean, there's also the section about the absolute necessity of accepting a spiritual master who guides you how to put these scriptural injunctions, how to apply them in one's life. Otherwise, this would be a suicide cult where we say, okay, chant Hare Krishna and slit your throat. But it's not like that. In another way, it's suicide cult, in that we don't want to come back to this material world. But not killing the body, that is not at all recommended. Although Sanatana Goswami wanted to do it, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him not to. Don't do that. Your body is meant for service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that if I thought I could attain Krishna by killing my body, then I'd be willing to do it millions of times. But that is not the way to attain Krishna. So after this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, there was some back and forth, some bantering about this. And then we come to two very important verses for those who study Chaitanya Charitamrita. Some verses are well known, and two of them are very well known, which I'll, among those who do study Chaitanya Charitamrita, these two verses are, actually there's another one also, but I won't touch that today, but in this section, Prabhu kahe Vaishnav deha prakrita kabhu noi, aprakrita deha bhakte chidanandamoy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the body of a devotee is never material. It is considered to be transcendental, full of spiritual bliss. Then the next verse after that, Dika kale bhakta kare. No, actually we have three verses here. Bhakta kare atashamarpan, she kale krishna tare kare atasham. At the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders himself under the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. She deha kare ta chidanandamoy aprakrita deho ta charan bhajoy. When the devotee's body is thus transformed into spiritual existence, the devotee in that transcendental body renders service to the lotus feet of the Lord. The purport to the first of these verses, which I just read, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to convince Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami that a devotee whose life is dedicated to the service of the Lord is never in the material conception. Because he always engages in the service of the Lord, his body is transcendental and full of spiritual bliss. One should never consider his body material. That means one should never consider the pure devotee's body material, just as one should never consider the body of the deity worshipped in the temple to be made of stone or wood. Factually, the deity is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead without a doubt. The injunctions of the Padma Purana therefore state, Arje Vishno Shila Dhir Gurushu Naramatya Vaishnave Jati Buddhihi Yasya va naraki saha. That person is a resident of hell who considers the deity worshipped in the temple to be stone or wood, who considers the spiritual master an ordinary man, and who thinks that the body of a Vaishnava fully dedicated to the service of the Lord belongs to the material modes of nature. So, in the verse which we chanted, we find the terms aprakrita, that's given once, prakrita is given twice. So prakrita means material, composed of material nature, and aprakrita means non-material. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the body of a Vaishnava is aprakrita. So it may be considered prakrita from one perspective, just like Srila Prabhupada says that everyone knows that the deity in the temple is made of stone. But at the same time, we shouldn't consider the deity as just stone. Is a prakrita, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifested within this material world. In fact, one may consider Krishna, when he appears in his original transcendental form in this material world, one may also consider him to be an ordinary person, as many persons did. Such persons are called demons, who consider Krishna's original transcendental form to be material. And it appears that his pastimes are material. He lives with wives. Well, most people do that. He has friends and enemies. Most people have friends and enemies. Almost everyone. So he appears to be material. And then there are descriptions in the Bhagavatam of his queens in Dwaraka, how they would smile at him coquettishly. But Krishna, he is not affected by that. And that description is given about Krishna, that even though he's in this material world and though he appears to be material, that etadishanam ishasya prakriti stho pitad gunaina yujyate sadatma sthaya yata buddhis sadashraya. The description is given that the godness of God, the very fact of him being the supreme opulent, the supreme controller, is that even though he is within the material nature, prakritistaha, he's not affected by the modes of material nature. He's always situated in his own transcendental position. And those who are his pure devotees, they're also in the same position. Those who are fully sheltered by him. Yata buddhis tadashraya. Here, ashraya is given in the feminine form, particularly referring to the queens who have been described, but referring to any pure devotee. So, they acquire the same quality as Krishna. The Krishna's queens, we understand, they are spiritual personalities. Rukmini, and Satyabhama, and Jambavati, and Kalindi, and the other queens, they're all eternal associates of Krishna. There may be others, pure devotees, who appear to be born and grow old and die. But they're also spiritual in the same way that an iron rod put into fire is spiritual. Now, spiritual means generally a synonym of spiritual or transcendental is Satchit Ananda, of the quality of eternity, consciousness and bliss. And a common term used for spiritual among those who use such words within the Vedic context is Chidananda. So the full term is Satchidananda. And we also hear the term Chidananda or Chinmoy. Chinmoy means composed of or possessed of consciousness. Now every living being has consciousness, but this particularly refers to pure consciousness. And as Vaishnavas understand this, this refers to Krishna consciousness. So, in one sense, everyone is chinmoy, but one whose consciousness is actually awakened to Krishna consciousness, they're called Chinmoy, even though they may be in a material body, which appears to act according to the modes of material nature. Now, there's another whole discussion here on the side of one who chants the holy names, immediately all their sins are destroyed. But various acharyas have stated that all past, sinful reactions which are yet to come, they are destroyed, but one's immediate prarabdha karma, that is not destroyed, otherwise you'd have to die, because the body is going on. The body would have to die, because the body is the vehicle by which one suffers or enjoys one's past reactions, either pious or impious. So that argument is made. Ramanuja gives that understanding, that all sinful reactions are destroyed for a devotee, except their immediate prarabdha karma. But another understanding of that is that Krishna takes charge of the devotee. Karmani niradahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. Krishna, the pure devotee cannot be said to be suffering from sinful reactions or even pious reactions, because he's fully surrendered to Krishna. Mahatmanastu mang prata daivin prakriti maashritaha. He's fully surrendered to Krishna. He's under Krishna's protection. So, just as the iron rod in the fire acts as fire, so a devotee, his apparent sinful reaction, they shouldn't be considered sinful reactions. We shouldn't say, well, my guru stubbed his toe, that must have been, he must have kicked someone in his last life, and now he's suffering from the sinful reaction. We shouldn't think like that. We should think that Krishna has made some arrangement. Actually, the disciples should think, because of my sinful activities, I am causing this suffering. There has to be some outlet for the sinful reaction. Of course, Krishna can neutralize everything, but as long as one is not fully surrendered to Krishna, then one goes on at least superficially making reactions. But that also, that is for a devotee who's simply, or who's a sadhaka, one who's on the path of pure devotion, he may appear to get reactions, but that is understood that Krishna is giving some token reaction, not exactly as a sinful reaction, but to remind that devotee that you're not meant to enjoy this material world, that you're meant to serve Krishna, that this material world is full of suffering. And for the pure devotee, there may be some apparent difficulty or reaction. That may be for various reasons also. One reason is, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, that if a pure devotee, by chanting Hare Krishna, they immediately got a celestial body and all facilities, they became beautiful and they never had any disease, then people would chant Hare Krishna for all the wrong reasons, and they wouldn't become Krishna conscious. And another reason is, to pure devotees, they may appear to undergo sinful reactions to help teach aspiring devotees how to tolerate various situations and how to act in this world despite the difficulties which they must inevitably undergo. So one shouldn't think that a pure devotee's body is spiritual. It is not spiritual, it is spiritual, but it is spiritual in a somewhat different way. Now, these verses which I just read, aprakrita deha bhakte chidanandamai. Hear that term, chidananda. In the next verse, or two verses after that, Shri Deha Kare Tar Chidanandamai. Krishna makes the body of a devotee Chidananda. Interestingly, the term is not given Satchidananda, it's given Chidananda. So, although the body of a Vaishnava is Sat, inasmuch as Sat means truthfulness, it's engaged in the service of the Supreme Sat, is not Sat in the sense of being eternal in the same way as Anaprakrita, spiritual body in the spiritual world, is. Of course, Krishna can make that body eternal also. Sometimes it's described that devotees go back to the spiritual world in the same body, but that's unusual. Sanatana Goswami was feeling unhappiness from his body because his body was very sick. So how is it that his body is described as Chidanandamai? Where's the ananda if your body is very sick? Well, Sanatana Goswami's unhappiness was not exactly because of the sickness, but because that body made, he thought that that body made him unfit to serve Krishna. That was his unhappiness. He wasn't lamenting that, oh, I'm so sick, why Krishna doesn't love me, why doesn't he make me healthy? He didn't lament like a neophyte devotee, but his lamentation was that he could not serve Krishna properly. So there's a quotation here from Srimad Bhagavatam in this section, given in this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes, Martyo yada tyakta samasta karma niveditatma vivikirshitome tadamritatvam pratipadyamano mayatma bhuyaya chakalpate vai. The living entity who is subjected to birth and death attains immortality when he gives up all material activities, dedicates his life in the to the execution of my order, and acts according to my direction. In this way he becomes fit to enjoy the spiritual bliss derived from exchanging loving mellows with me. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 29, Text 34. At the time of initiation, a devotee gives up all his material conceptions. So how many devotees here are initiated? Yeah, so that means you gave up all material conceptions, according to this statement. That's real meaning of initiation. Therefore, being in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is situated on the transcendental platform. Thus, having attained knowledge and the spiritual platform, he always engages in the service of the spiritual body of Krishna. When one is freed from material conceptions in this way, his body immediately becomes spiritual and Krishna accepts his service. However, Krishna does not accept anything from a person with a material conception of life. When a devotee no longer has any desire for material sense gratification, in his spiritual identity he engages in the service of the Lord, for his dormant spiritual consciousness awakens. This awakening of spiritual consciousness makes his body spiritual, and thus he becomes fit to render service to the Lord. Karmis may consider the body of a devotee material, but factually it is not, for a devotee has no conception of material enjoyment. If one thinks that the body of a pure devotee is material, he is an offender, for that is a Vaishnava aparad. In this connection, one should consult Srila Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, 1345 and 23139. Look up in the database, Pakva Pakva. To understand this point, one should study these verses very carefully. Prabhu Kahe, Vaishnav Deha Prakrita Kabunai, Aprakrita Deha Vaishnav Chidanandamai, Dikka Kale, Bhakta Kare, Ata Samarpan, Shri Kale, Krishna Tare, Kare, Ata Sham. Where is that? And then the next one after that. Martyo Yada. Yeah, and then the next verse after that. Shri Deha Kare Ta Chidanandamoy Aprakrita Deha Ta Charane Bhajoy. So these verses should be considered very carefully. Did you find that? Pakva, Pakva. Read that out. The verse, there's a four verses together. Narottam Das Thakur sings in this regard. Shadaneji dhana chai siddha deha taha pai pakva pakva matra shebicha. So Narottam Das sings that in the state of sadhana, whatever one desires, then one will attain that in the siddha deha, in the eternal spiritual form. It is simply a consideration of being ripe and unripe, pakka or kaccha. Just like a mango in the kaccha state, the unripe state. It's a mango, it's on the way to being a full-fledged sweet mango, but right now it appears to be quite different. But if it just goes on being a mango and stays on the tree and all conditions are favorable, there's enough sunshine, then it will gradually become a ripe mango. So in the same way, a material body doesn't seem to be spiritual, but it is. Inasmuch as a mango is a mango, but it hasn't yet attained its full condition. Then what's the next line after that? Pakile se prema bhakti. In the ripe state, there is prema bhakti. Apakve sadhana riti. And in the unripe state, then we have to, yeah, then the next line we have to follow sadhana. Pakka. Pakile se prema bhaktisha. And then by following that sadhana, then in the ripe state one fully attains prema. Of course, this doesn't apply to Sanatana Goswami, who's not a sadhak. He's a fully perfect, he's an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are some considerations. So any question about this? Krishna does not accept anyone who has a material conception. Yes, that was just quoted. Those who are not pakka. Those who are practicing but not perfect. Does Krishna accept from them? No. Therefore they have to offer to Krishna through the via medium of the spiritual master, who offers it to his spiritual master, who offers it to his spiritual master, and eventually it gets up to Krishna. But not directly. We don't offer to Krishna. Even in the fully perfect state, we have to go through a via medium. Direct and indirect also. But that's the dikka kale bhakta kare atta samarpan. One gives one's very self to, fully gives oneself to Krishna. That means that one is supposed to give up all material conceptions. And initiation means to not to maintain an identity as being an enjoyer of this material world, but to consider oneself, I am an eternal servant of Krishna. So one may, a devotee may appear to go on with materialistic activities, just like the body of a pure devotee may appear to be material. So it may appear that he's an office worker, working for such and such a company. He's the father of these children and the husband of this wife and the son of these parents. But although conventionally he may be considered like that, he doesn't consider the essence of himself to be these material designations. Sarvopadivinir muktam tatparatvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhaktiruchate. He identifies himself not according to the designations that apply to the body, but he identifies himself as a servant of Krishna and engages himself in the service of Krishna. And for such a devotee, eha yasya hare dasye karmana manasa gira nikala svapyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. Even though he's living in this world, because he's fully dedicated to the service of Krishna in transcendence without material desires, therefore he's considered liberated even though in this world. Yeah, anything else? Yeah.
Maharaj, as we say, the body of the devotee is a transcendental, and it is very painful for us and for the devotee when he leaves the body, and he attains a destination. So,
I'm repeating this so that others can hear. I said that the body of a devotee is transcendental, but the objection or doubt is given that it is painful when a devotee dies.
So, and as we hear Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that
Krishna says, Yad gatva na nivartante tad dhamma parama mama. Who does he say that about?
About spiritual world.
This is referring to who? That having gone there, he doesn't return. Having gone to my supreme abode. So who does this refer to? Every soul? It refers to every soul? Really? Is it? What's the first line of that verse? Na tad bhasayate suryo na shashanko na pavakaha. There are several verses in Gita in which Krishna speaks of coming out of the material world and going to the spiritual world. Can you think of another one? Think of another one in which puts this in context. Going to the spiritual world. Antakale chamameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nascentra sangshaya. Another one? Napnuvanti mahatmana dukhalayam ashashvatam. What is that? Mamupetya punaja. Sangsitting paramam gata. Then the most famous one, I thought you'd all quote immediately. Janma karma chame devyam evang yoveti tatvataha. Tyakdva dehang punar janma naiti mameti sojana. So those who are perfect in Krishna consciousness, they go to Krishna. Not everyone. Now, you're building up a question here based on certain premises. But one of your premises is faulty, so I'm going to interrupt you here. You're saying that a devotee leaves in pain, but a pure devotee doesn't leave in pain. In fact, he doesn't even suffer pain in this life. Just like Sanatana Goswami might have appeared to be painful by his disease, but he wasn't complaining about the disease, he was complaining that it made him unfit to serve Krishna. So his sense of Krishna consciousness it overwhelms any sense of bodily consciousness that might be there. So a pure devotee doesn't leave in pain. He leaves thinking of Krishna. And if you think of Krishna, then where's the pain? If one is absorbed in thought of Krishna. So do you still have a question? Every jiva came from the spiritual world. How did this desire come? To enjoy separately from Krishna. Has anyone ever heard this question before? Have you ever asked anyone this question? How long have you been associating with devotees? 6 years. Did this question never occur to you before? Never occurred to you before. Just popped into your mind just now. How did that desire come? Well, you can ask yourself, why don't you desire to serve Krishna? The jiva has independence. Jiva is meant for loving Krishna. Love means one has to choose to serve. If one is programmed to serve like a robot, then there's no question of love. So choice means there's also the possibility of misuse of that choice. Those that do misuse that choice, they end up down here. That's it, in brief. Misuse of one's minute independence. Anything else? Do we have a cordless mic? No, we don't have one. All right, so please state.
Who does Krishna consciousness propose?
What's the question? Someone say.
What is the Krishna consciousness proposal?
What does Krishna consciousness propose? What do devotees propose? We propose that you chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead and get out of this material world. That's it in brief. For more information, you can read the books of Srila Prabhupada in whichever language you're comfortable with. What's your mother tongue in this body?
Spanish.
So we have all of Srila Prabhupada's books in Spanish. Maybe not here in Bangalore. Probably on the internet, I don't know. Yeah, then.
I understand this situation, what Lord Chaitanya gives that she has to deliver us. That's a good thing. But from the tattva perspective, the living being in tattva memory actually spiritual, that's acceptable. From the prasadam standpoint, what is tattva? Is it spiritual or material?
Is prasadam spiritual or material? Prasadam is, Krishna Prasad is fully spiritual. But it's spiritual in a different way, somewhat different way, to the eternal Satchidananda body of the Supreme Lord. That's it. Does it depend on our perspective? Yes. Because even if prasad is, from our perspective, rotten, we should still think this is Krishna prasad. We shouldn't think now this has become contaminated. But normally we don't eat Krishna prasad that has, from the external viewpoint, undergone the transformation of becoming rotten. Raghunath Das Goswami was doing that. Even he would wash it, the outer part, and take the inner part. So, Hare Krishna, thank you for listening patiently. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.